This is a podcast from the University of Manchester's Jodrell Bank Centre for Astrophysics. For more details, see jodcast.net.
Okay, we're joined now by Jodrell Bank Observatory's very own Dr. Albert Zylstra, talking about some exciting new research which he has been leading recently. Albert, your research has been into old dust. Tell us a bit about old dust.
It's actually, the dust itself is not old. The dust was newly made, but it's similar to dust that we expect to see in the early universe. And so for the first time we've seen dust form in environments that are very similar to those that were around when the galaxies themselves first formed.
Alright, now when we talk about dust, we being astronomers, what do we mean by dust? Is it the same sort of dust that I sweep out from the corner of my living room, or is it something else?
A little bit of the dust in your living room might be the same dust, as a little bit of the dust in space actually makes it to the atmosphere, falls down and collects down here. It's only a tiny fraction. But yes, some of the dust will have made it into your room. The stuff that dust is made of, it's very small grains, and it's a bit silicate, sand on the beach. Some of it is like soot, carbon dust, but the particles are really very, very small. We compare it mostly to cigar smoke. Particles too small to see, but together, they're almost completely opaque. You can't see through cigar smoke. If someone smokes a cigar in the room, the room just disappears from view. Dust in space is very much like that.
Okay, so the dust that you have found, as you mentioned, is newly made, but it is made in conditions which are similar to that close to the beginning of our universe in the Big Bang. What exactly are those conditions? Where did you find this dust?
We found the dust in galaxy near to our galaxy. The Sculptor galaxy is a satellite to our galaxy, but it's a very old system and a very, what we call, metal-poor system. Most of the material in space is made of hydrogen and helium. And a little bit is made about more interesting things like carbon and oxygen and silicate. Now, those more interesting elements were made by and large by stars after the universe itself first formed. They weren't there in the beginning. Now, in the early universe, there would have been very little of those elements, only a tiny amount of carbon, oxygen, because they still had to be made by stars. Now, this galaxy is peculiar in the sense that it has metallicities, abundances of those elements, which are not dissimilar from those in the early universe. And so they're really the most metal-poor regions that we've yet studied.
Does this suggest then that the galaxies themselves are very, very old? They formed very close to the beginning of the universe.
Part of this galaxy will have, yes, it is a very old system. And we believe it as old as the oldest stars in our galaxy. Not the entire system. Small galaxies only have few stars in them. And so they only produce a little carbon oxygen at a time. And so they stay in their pristine conditions for quite a long time. And so some of the stars, including the star that we actually observed, probably were made at some later time, say in the past 5 to 10 billion years.
All right, so you've observed a single star. What sort of star was it?
It's a star that originally was very much like our sun. When our sun dies, it will first go through a phase where it gets very, very large, a red giant. Then the outer atmosphere, the shell of the star, will dispel into space, and the core will remain behind as a dying white dwarf. Now, what we've seen is a star in this galaxy that's going through the same phase. It is shedding a lot of its shell. In fact, the mass loss is so high that within about 100,000 years, there's very little left. The star just evaporates as you're watching. The dust that we are observing forms in this catastrophic wind. And so one of the consequences of that is that we can't see the star. The star is smoking cigars, and the star is just disappearing from view. But luckily, we have a telescope now in space that can see just this dust. It sees the radiation from the dust rather than the radiation from the star. And that's what we have observed. This telescope that we used is a Spitzer Space Telescope. It is one of NASA's great space observatories, one of the four, in fact. And it's been in space since about 5 years now, and it is just about to end its life. And space telescope observing infrared radiation needs to be cooled. It's cooled by liquid helium. But that evaporates while it cools, and after a while it's gone. This telescope is now very far from Earth, and you can't refill it. The best estimate for when it will run out is April, so pretty soon from now. We've been using this telescope for some time to observe galaxies like this one, and looking for the stars that are losing mass. This is by far the most metal-poor that we have found. And so the fact that we saw dust form in such a metal-poor environment was rather unexpected, and rather interesting.
So using the Spitzer Space Telescope, you can measure the light coming from the dust surrounding the star, but you mentioned that you now know that it has very few metals as constituents in the dust. How do you know that?
We know that first of all because the star is a member of this galaxy, and all the stars in this galaxy are like that. And so that tells us that this star is unlikely to be different. The second reason is in the dust itself, we're taking spectra in the infrared. In the optical, this star is not visible. It's hiding behind its own dust. But what the Spitzer Space Telescope does, what we have done with it, is indeed take spectra of the emission. So we can see not only that it emits infrared radiation from dust, it also tells us what kind of dust. I mean, there's some features you sometimes can see that comes from other elements embedded in the dust. And the most important one in this case is silicate carbide. If you see that, there's one particular feature at a wavelength of 11 micron, if you're interested, that shows the presence of this material. That feature is completely absent in this star. Now, silicon is not made in these type of evolved stars. And so that really tells you what abundances there were when the star first formed. And it tells you that this is a very metal-poor star. And there are some things that surprised us. One is the dust is very hot. It is over 1500 Kelvin, which is much hotter than any dust ever seen in our galaxy. And it is completely absent, completely lacking in silicate carbide. There is only carbonaceous dust suit. Because it's so hot, we believe it's graphite, which is a dust component not often seen in our galaxy.
If this dust is surrounding a star, is it so surprising that it is hot?
In a way, it isn't. It's being heated. But dust can only exist at a temperature below a certain value, the evaporation or the condensation temperature. If you make it too hot, it will melt, but in space it can't melt, it will just evaporate. And so just from the fact you see the dust, it has to be cool enough to exist. And most dust cannot exist at temperatures as high as this. So that was a surprise. But graphite can exist, so that was okay.
What are we going to learn from this system? Why is it special to us? Why should we want to know about this star which is shedding all its atmosphere and it's surrounded by this big dust shell?
Well, to an astronomer, the very interesting bit is that this tells us something what went on in the early universe. We have seen dust in the early universe, but we've never seen it form. The earliest dust in the universe is at a redshift of over 6, which means it is less than a billion years after the Big Bang. It was already dust there. And we don't really know where it came from. The idea was mainly made by supernova. Now we have found this star and have shown that even lower mass stars, like the Sun, can make dust in this kind of environment. And so it shows a new source of this very high redshift dust. That is the interest for astronomers. Now the interest for us as normal human beings is somewhat different because to form a planet like the Earth, you need dust. You cannot make it out of hydrogen and helium. You can only make it out of these small dusty particles in space. You bring them together, they grow bigger and bigger, and finally you've got a planet. And so this tells us also something about the origin of our planet.
We assume that everything that we're made out of, you, me, this table, this microphone, is all made out of recycled stellar matter through the action of supernovae producing heavier elements and recycling them to the universe. So does this change our understanding of how the universe goes about its formation of different atoms and molecules?
We know fairly well how the various elements form. You know, what type of star creates what kind of elements. Things like the silicate and the oxygen, the sand on the beach, are formed in supernovae. But things like the carbon that you and I are more made out of is mainly made in the lower mass stars, like the Sun. But only if those stars are at a low metallicity, so metal poor. The interesting thing is the more metal rich, so the older the universe gets, the less carbon is formed in these kind of stars, or the less efficient it comes out. And so a lot of the carbon that we are made of is actually quite old, and comes from an earlier phase in the evolution of the galaxy. Now, we don't really understand the early phases of the evolution of galaxies. The formation, we don't understand anything about. After that, the evolution, how the galaxy develops itself, well, that is a big interplay between stars form. They evolve, they lose mass, enrich their material, that is, produce themselves, and then they form new generations of stars out of that. It's a life cycle of galaxies. That life cycle, we don't really understand. And this data that we've taken, these spectra, show us something quite fundamental about this life cycle of galaxies.
Out of the millions of stars that you could possibly observe in the galaxy and other galaxies, how did you find this one?
That is a very good question. And the lucky thing is we didn't. It was found for us. There was a group in France, Nicolas Morand mainly, who were doing surveys for these type of stars in the galactic halo. So that's the galactic stars, but they're in an old component of the galaxy. and they found about 50 or 60 or so of these type of stars. Now, for this star, they hadn't realized it was actually a member of a more distant galaxy, and so they found it accidental. Our team realized that actually it belonged to this more distant galaxy, and therefore we knew it was a very low metallicity star. And so it was found for us, luckily.
Are you aiming to extend this research by finding other similar stars and do the same sort of analysis?
We would love to. It's getting more difficult because the Spitzer Space Telescope is dying. And so we have just been awarded a little bit more time to look at more of Nicolas Moron's stars in the halo, and hopefully there are more interesting stars in there. We've got other projects looking at similar stars in globular clusters, which also date from a very early phase of the evolution of our galaxy. Those data are still being analyzed, and we hope to get some exciting new results, but not this week.
Well, that's fascinating research. Thank you very much indeed for taking the time to talk to us on the Jodcast.
It was a pleasure.